morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to a bittersweet edition of Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. And as you might have heard, we have a special guest joining us on the phone right now. We have former Packers tight end, new Buccaneers tight end, Tom Crabtree. Tom, we have a stereo held over our head playing Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes. Is there anything we can do to change your mind, Mr. Crabtree?
No, unfortunately, we've passed the point of no return. So,
tell me the truth. What was it, the creamsicle throwback uniforms that sold you?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the one thing that kind of swayed me. So, I don't know if I'm in the minority here or the majority. I'm not sure how people kind of stand, but I kind of like the creamsicle. So
I do too. I think I need to get
excited.
A Tom Crabtree throwback.
Yeah.
There's no conflict of interest in you being a Packers owner and a Buccaneers player, is there?
I saw someone mention that the other day, and I don't know, that's kind of funny. Yeah, that's kind of a whole interesting, like, new kind of layer to this. So, I don't know, it's pretty weird. Maybe I can pass it down to my son.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that, I think. So, you know, what's the process? Are you already in the process of moving, or when will that take place?
Yeah, we've kind of started that process, just because I'd like to get down there and, obviously, you know, be down there and be ready for the start of our off-season program. And, I've already kind of started the process of getting things kind of, you know, the loose ends tied up here in Green Bay and, you know, eventually packing up and making the long drive down.
I don't know if this is fair or not, but, you know, in retrospect, would you like to have seen the Packers place that tender offer on you, or are you happy with what you got from the Buccaneers?
I'm happy with how the situation played out now, ultimately, or otherwise I wouldn't have, you know, made the decision I did. And, you know, things work out for a reason. You know, it wasn't meant to be in Green Bay, I guess. But I mean, we had three amazing years there, and obviously three amazing years that I won't forget. And you know, my kids were born in Green Bay, and just my family. We're just so thankful for our time here. So it was unfortunate that it couldn't work out, but you know, that's the way it goes. You know, very few guys get to have long careers in the same spot. You know, we all kind of have to move on at some point.
A lot of times when a free agent signs with a new team, there's an assistant coach that knows you, or a front office executive that is familiar with you, knows your strengths. Who was that person in Tampa Bay?
I didn't really have like a specific tie or link to that team, I guess, to the Bucs. But, they said they had their eye on me for a while. Weren't really expecting me to, I guess, be available. And, you know, to their surprise, I was, and they were excited. And they kind of seized that opportunity to communicate with us and, you know, to bring me down there. So.
Were there any other teams that expressed interest in you that gave a call to your agent or anything like that?
Yeah, there were a few other teams, but like, you know, again, nobody was near the interest that Tampa Bay had. I mean, they were in communication with us all along, and you know, they kind of seemed to be not necessarily going out of their way, but just kind of going, you know, a step above everybody else.
What are your expectations in Tampa Bay for how things are going to play out there, their tight end situation?
you know, my expectations are the same as they've been in Green Bay the last few years. Just find my role on the team and actually make the team. So that's kind of, that's my mindset. I don't think, you know, I'm ever going to know any better. I think that's always going to be my mindset going into every season.
What do you know of Greg Schiano? You know, I don't know him intimately, but of course, you know, I think the one thing the casual fan knows about him is heard. Boy, he sure defends those decisions to kneel down at the end of games and halves. What's your reaction to him and that?
You know, I love it. I mean, he's as you can tell, he's a fiery guy, and you know, he's obviously in it to win and kind of fighting till the last second. So I can respect that, and I like that about him. So yeah, I mean, for the most part, from what I've heard, hopefully I'm gonna get a chance to meet him here next week. I didn't get to meet him last week because he was down at the owners meetings, but you know, from what I've heard, he's a fiery guy, and you know, if you go in and do your job and you work hard, you know, you're gonna get that much more respect out of him. So
Well, let's take a little trip down memory lane here, Tom. What was your favorite on the field moment as a Green Bay Packer? The thing that happened on the football field. What do you remember? What stands out?
Favorite on field moment, man. So many of them. I'd probably have to say just being on the field at the end of the Super Bowl. You know, after the game had ended and, you know, we were on the field and they brought the trophy out and the confetti and all that. That was probably, you know, my number one memory on the field, I guess.
How about this past season? You had all these crazy touchdowns, the fake field goal, the 70-plus yard one against Arizona. Where do those stack up?
You know, they were, those were exciting moments too, but, you know, for me, it was the most important part was that we won those games. And, you know, I was happy to play a role in those games with those touchdowns. And, so that was the biggest thing for me. It was, you know, those are the best moments when you get back in the locker room after a win and everybody's kind of joking around and smiling. And you know, that's kind of what means the most to me.
Okay, now how about your favorite moment about Green Bay away from football? And don't, you know, feel like you have to limit it to one, but I mean, what are you going to remember about the town, the city, the state, and the fans?
Oh man, I'll have a ton of memories. I'll probably have more memories of my, you know, stuff I did off the field than on field. You know, those were the important things to me, like the walk we did for JDRF last year. You know, that was amazing to me. We had so many people come out to that and kind of show their support and you know, raise money for a good cause. Trying to think what else. Obviously, it was a cool moment when I took, we got our Super Bowl rings and I went to the mall here in Green Bay, and, you know, I kind of tweeted about it and let some of the fans know if they want to come check out the ring or whatever. They could come do that. And I thought that was kind of a cool way to, you know, pay back the fans that had supported us and continued to support us in that run that we made. And, you know, it was a cool way to kind of pay them back and let them check out, you know, a piece of that run, I guess.
As you leave Green Bay and there's guys who are staying, how are the Packers' tight ends going to be without you? How is Jermichael Finley, Andrew Quarles?
Well, they're not going to be as good, obviously. but they'll be okay. They'll find a way. You know, they've got some guys. You know, they can do a little bit of everything, and obviously Jermichael. He's just a playmaker himself, and you know, they've got guys at the position, the deep in the position, and you know, they'll be okay.
What are Packer fans going to do when you play the the Buccaneers, when the Buccaneers play the Vikings, you know, how should Packer fans react to that game if and when it happens?
Oh, man, I don't know. I guess that's kind of looking down the road. I know I'd be pretty emotional, especially if it was at Lambeau. You know, it would mean a lot to me. So I would hope, knowing Packers fans, maybe they'd be like, oh, there's Tom, like, what a nice guy he was. And then, you know, maybe boo me or, like, you know, be disappointed if I make a nice play or something, just because I know they, how passionate they are about supporting the Packers. So,
will you be doing a final episode of Clubhouse Live?
Oh, man, I'm still working on that. I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I don't want to rule it out yet, but it's going to be tough just because we're kind of scrambling to get down there. We only have a couple weeks, and we'll see. Stay tuned, I guess.
I understand. Well, Tom, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule here to talk to us here at Cheesehead TV. We thank you for all you've done for Cheesehead TV over the years, and on behalf of Packers fans everywhere, and I don't think you're hearing it just from me. I'm sure you're getting it on social media and everywhere else, but thank you for all you've done for the organization for the past few seasons, and we wish you the best of luck in Tampa Bay.
Well, thank you guys, too. I mean, the same thing. I appreciate you guys kind of giving me a link, an even bigger link, like, to the community and the fans, and, you know, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom. We'll be cheering you on. We'll be cheering for you. I'm not sure we'll be cheering for the Buccaneers, but we'll be cheering for you.
That's all right. I understand. I understand.
Anyway, Tom Crabtree, thanks a lot. Take care, bud.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us on the show this morning. Bittersweet goodbye to a great player and an even better person. What Tom Crabtree has meant to Cheesehead TV has just been incredible over the years. Even when he first joined the Packers, he was the kind of guy who would come on Railbird Central, who would come on Packer Transplants, our shows here at Cheesehead TV. During the entire 2011 season, Tom Crabtree was the weekly guest on this show. Every Monday he would join us after the Packer games the previous day, recap the games, and just tell us what's going on life in the Crabtree household. And I'll always remember that. And never forget that. So it's sad to see him go, but wish him the best of luck. It's a business, folks. I hope nobody out there, holds any grudges against Tom Crabtree. That would be wrong, I think. This is a business. He's doing what's in the best interest of himself, his family, and going where there's a team that showed a little bit more commitment and a little bit more stability in Tampa Bay. And you can't blame him for that. Tom Crabtree is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not making that kind of money. This is a guy who's got a fight to stay in the NFL and eventually get his pension, right? What is that? How many years you got to play in the NFL to get that? Is it 3 years, 4 years? So Tom's right on the border there, I think. As far as doing that. But anyway, thanks, Tom, for the memories, and thanks for being a member of Super Bowl XLV. that was an amazing game, and he was a part of it, and thanks Packers fans will remember forever. So thanks to Tom Crabtree for joining us on the show this morning. Thank you, Packers fans, for tuning in. Obviously, with Tom joining us on the show, we've got a big crowd today, so thank you. And by all means, if you want to chime in on the live blog, feel free. Jamie Jors is approving your comments, so feel free to do that, or use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player if you want to join the discussion. We're going to change gears and talk about what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers the past few days, And the big news yesterday, outside of March Madness, that is, kind of came in the midst of March Madness. If your mind was on basketball yesterday, you might have missed this. The Packers re-signed linebacker Brad Jones yesterday, an unrestricted free agent. So he does not escape Green Bay as Tom Crabtree did. What's interesting, just this morning, in fact, maybe if somebody on the live blog wants to post the exact numbers, Brad Jones' contract was reported by the fellow at the Chicago Sun-Times, I believe. Posted on the live blog, so I don't have to stumble through this, but Brad Jones' contract numbers, or at least his reported numbers, Sean Jensen, thank you. Sean Jensen reported this, his numbers, and it was a three-year deal. Evans got on the live blog. 3 years, $11.75 million. And again, I mean, we don't know exactly how this was structured here. Numbers can sometimes be deceiving a little bit. But here we go. Jamie's got the information, including a $3 million signing bonus and possible Pro Bowl escalators. So, Brad Jones, just should we talk about him for a second here and where he came to get to this point? Brad Jones drafted. He's just finished his fourth year in the NFL. Started as an outside linebacker. Actually, his best year in the NFL may have been his rookie year. He didn't play that much, but remember that rookie year, 2009, he got like 4.5 sacks, and you kind of wondered, like, holy cow, the Packers could have been onto something here. But then after that, injuries kind of derailed him for a while, including the Super Bowl season. And then this past season, 2012, he makes the switch to inside linebacker from outside linebacker and gets his opportunity when injuries hit, when Desmond Bishop goes down with a torn hamstring, when DJ Smith suffers a torn ACL, right? And so Brad Smith gets his shot and does better than anybody expected. I don't think there were a lot of expectations for Brad Jones coming into the season. And then all of a sudden to see him become the starter was rather remarkable. I didn't even think he would get the shot. I thought he'd be behind guys like Rob Francois, maybe Terrell Manning. I didn't know. But then he becomes the Packers' full-time starter at inside linebacker, one of the leaders, wears the communication helmet to relay plays to the rest of the team and becomes a three-down linebacker. The only inside linebacker who played all three downs. You know, when the Packers go to nickel dime, A.J. Hawk comes off the field and, well, Brad Jones, the more inexperienced player, stays on. And it's not as if Brad Jones was a Pro Bowler. But I'm just saying he exceeded expectations. Ended up getting triple digits in tackles this past year. And so the Packers now are in a little bit of a quandary at inside linebacker in that they have a lot of depth. That might be the deepest position on the team, at least in terms of numbers. I don't know about quality. You could probably make that argument about cornerback as well. But anyway, so the inside linebacker position, there's been a lot of action at that, actually, at that position this offseason. Rob Francois was in a situation a lot like Tom Crabtree. He was a restricted free agent, wasn't tendered, so he becomes an unrestricted free agent, free to sign with any team he chooses, but ends up re-signing with the Packers. And then after that happens, A.J. Hawk agrees to take a pay cut, albeit not a huge one, but restructures his deal that's a little bit more favorable to the organization. And so that works out. And so all these guys coming back, Brad Jones among them, join the conversation that also includes the guys who got injured last year, Desmond Bishop and DJ Smith. And on top of that, you've got Jamari Lattimore. You've got Terrell Manning, last year's rookie. You got all these guys, and it just seems to kind of be a little bit of a messy situation. And it just that, you know, all these guys are fighting for playing time. And, you know, who's going to come out on top? And, you know, the depth is a good thing in that you don't know how Desmond Bishop and DJ Smith are going to come back from their injuries. In fact, just listening to the quotes or seeing the quotes from the multiple outlets that covered the NFL owners meeting this past week, Mike McCarthy, I know, had said about DJ Smith that he just says, "I know it was a serious injury," which made you feel like, you know, there's not a whole lot of confidence in there about DJ Smith's prompt return to playing time. Not to say he can't, but Mike McCarthy just wasn't, you know, the first thing he says about DJ Smith is how serious the injury is, and that's not necessarily a good sign, I don't think. So, you know, it's a good thing the Packers have options beyond them, because you don't know how they're going to bounce back. But I mean, even with them back, I don't know if any of these guys, any of the inside linebackers, is really all that great. I think Desmond Bishop is good when he's healthy. He's that lay the wood kind of guy. He's the tough guy you need on your team. But you know, is he going to be that same player after his torn hamstring this past season? You know, I was almost in favor of the Packers going after an inside linebacker in the draft, just because I'm not sure any of these guys currently on their roster are elite players. But now, after re-signing Francois Jones and restructuring Hawk, it's tough to see the Packers selecting an inside linebacker in the draft outside of maybe a late-round selection, because they have so much invested to the position already. And you're just going to have to cross your fingers and hope that it works out, that one of these guys is the real deal. You know, I mean, maybe it's a case where Brad Jones made such a step forward in 2012. If he can take a similar step forward in 2013, well, maybe they'll be in good shape. One of the more intriguing guys on the roster, I think, is Terrell Manning, the Packers' 2012 draft choice, a fifth rounder, who the Packers actually traded up to get, if you remember. That's how highly they thought of Terrell Manning. Well, his season kind of gets derailed by, what did he have, colitis? Kind of a rare health situation. Is it a disease? I don't know. Something with his small intestine. John says on the live blog, he lost 15 pounds. Yeah, it was kind of a weird situation with Terrell Manning. Just that, you know, it unexpected, kind of came out of the blue, kind of, you know, stopped his season before it started. You know, after that happened in training camp, it just took him so long to get back up to speed that, you know, he never really had a chance to contribute last year. But I think he could be a factor. You know, the Packers thought highly of him at one point, but there's such a logjam at the position. Who's gonna play? You know, there's only two positions there, and you've got one Desmond Bishop, two DJ Smith, three AJ Hawk, four Brad Jones, five Rob Francois, six Terrell Manning, and seven Jamari Lattimore. That's seven inside linebackers currently on the roster for two positions. So it's difficult. It's a fight for playing time. Who's going to come out on top? Well, it's going to depend a lot upon how Desmond Bishop and DJ Smith bounce back. It could be a situation where DJ Smith starts off the year on the PUP list, and you're not even seeing him till mid-season, if that. It could be a situation for DJ Smith like it was for Andrew Quarles this past year, and Derek Sherrod. Those guys just missed the whole entire year because their injuries were so bad. Could be the same type of situation for DJ Smith. I'm just speculating. I don't really know. But, I mean, that's the situation the Packers find themselves in. And Desmond Bishop, I want to say because Desmond Bishop's injury took place so long ago. Right? Do you remember when that happened? He tore his hamstring in the first preseason game. Happened on one of the first plays of the preseason. It was like right away in the first quarter. His season ends before it begins. So, I mean, the silver lining, I guess, if you can call it that, is that Desmond Bishop has a long time to recover and get healthy and get ready. I don't know if he's going to be ready right away when the Packers offseason program starts in May there. Or when they start weightlifting in April. That's all it is in April, is just lifting weights and conditioning. But, will he be ready for training camp? I think he might be, at least on perhaps a limited basis. We're talking late July, early August. But again, that's just speculation on my point. I don't really know. I'm not passing along sure things here. Anything I've heard from the Packers organization or Mike McCarthy or anything else. So it's, do the Packers have too much invested at inside linebacker? You can make that argument and that they're investing all this money into mediocre players. And that's tough for a guy like me to say. Who's not out on the field. I'm sure Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk would like to show me what it means to be mediocre and pound me into the ground. But I'm not an NFL player. They are. And as far as, they're not Pro Bowlers. So it's, have the Packers invested too much there? Interesting thought to possibly ponder. They got these seven inside linebackers, but are any of them really that good? We'll see as the season comes up here. But yeah, it's the first wave of free agency is over. The NFL draft, the NFL owners meetings is over. And now our focus is pretty much on the draft here from here on out. And by the way, our NFL draft guide goes out in just about a week. So I suggest if you haven't done so already and you can see the scroll at the bottom of the screen, make sure to get your copy of the Cheesehead TV 2013 NFL Draft Guide. If you pre-order it now, you're going to save money. It's only $5.99, as I like to say, about the same money you'd pay for an extra value meal at McDonald's. That's our entire Packers Draft publication. About 100 pages worth of content for you. So please, pre-order your edition because it drops in just about a week. And so next week at this time, we'll be talking about that. So Make sure to get yours if you haven't already. Get that little scroll at the bottom of the screen. Click it there. That'll take you to our shop where you can order it, our digital publication. So we're going to start ramping up that coverage for the NFL draft pretty soon. I'll start having some draft experts on the show here. That's always fun. Talk to them, get their thoughts on what's happening out there, talking pro days and prospects and potential Packers targets, things like that. So we're going to get that underway here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. But it's now past 9 o'clock. Want to thank you all for joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to our guest, former Packers tight end, Tom Crabtree, joining us on the show. I'm Brian Caravu. On behalf of Jamie Joris, we'll see you later, everyone. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the basketball. Enjoy March Madness. And we'll see you here next Monday morning at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack. Go.